We're podding.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Adam.
And I'm Marissa.
And this is Natural Disasters.
Because we drink natural wine and we're disasters.
Yeah, I was just telling Marissa about how I fell down roller skating and I think I actually broke a rib. And I've been ignoring it for the last week.
Yeah, and I'm like, go to the fucking doctor.
And like getting up and getting down, picking up my son.
Like I know.
Every action is painful.
I know that, you know, there's not much they can do for broken ribs, but it's like, still go to the fucking doctor.
I know. Well, it was getting better. It seemed to get better. And then I did something to it again, I feel like.
Yeah.
And it got worse. So I will be going to the doctor.
Yeah, I just have a bruise on my leg that looks like a raptor swiped at me, but like didn't actually catch me. From drinking way too much tequila at J. Cole last week.
It happens.
I don't drink hard liquor very often anymore, at least not in like mass quantities.
Yeah.
And you know, I remember why.
Yeah, do you find that like when you're drinking
Actually, I don't remember why.
do you find that because you drink wine so often, sometimes I know that like wine is the predominant alcohol consumed in my household, sometimes beer, but hard liquor is definitely less. So I drink it the same way I do wine. So
yes, because I think that I'm invincible and
yeah,
I'm not.
Like I just consume way too much of it.
Yeah, way too much of it. I'm like, ooh, vodka soda?
Yeah, I wasn't even drunk when I fell on roller skates. I wish I had been.
I was so drunk at the J. Cole concert that I'm going to say this, even though I like prayed to, I don't believe in God, but I prayed to the universe that no one saw this because we were at Staples Center in like Ben's suite that his work has. So he had like coworkers in there that I'd never met before. And I was with my homies, JD and Grace, and we were getting wild and we were doing a lot of tequila shots and vodka sodas, all sorts of things. And that I was drinking too quickly because I think that I'm invincible because I can drink a lot of wine. And then at some point I definitely did like fall on my face, like while dancing, like where I can get pretty low is the thing. Is like I can get pretty low, but I'm also getting a bit older.
And creaky knees.
Yeah, creaky knees. And I think I just, you know, it was dark. I don't know exactly what happened. All I know is that my forehead definitely hit the ground. And then I popped up and like looked around to see if anyone noticed. But I think a lot of people were on Molly maybe.
Yeah.
So hopefully, I don't think.
I'm sure no one noticed.
And none of those people listen to this podcast. So anyways, I look like I was attacked by a raptor and I also fell on my face while dropping it at J. Cole. So anyways.
Good times all around.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's why we're also disasters.
Yeah, that's why
natural
we're disasters.
Natural wine, and then that's the disasters part. Speaking of natural wines,
yeah. So we got a bottle that we're drinking today that I grabbed at Psychic Wines that I'm gonna let Adam pronounce everything of.
Well, no, I'm gonna be horrible at it. But this wine,
your last name is French. You're gonna
it's Greek.
Oh well,
but I am French. But yeah, I'm bad at it.
Why is it always changing with you? I just feel like it's constantly confusing.
La Como Rêve, which I don't something about dreams, and then Jacare dans le Abîme, 2016.
That's the winemaker, though, right?
No, that's the name of the wine. The name of the winemaker is Gregory Perron. And then it is his Jacquère.
And Jacquère is the grape.
Jacquère.
And the front of
is
it.
Is the grape, yes.
Yes, it's the Blanc 20.
Variety.
The variety, yes. It's the Blanc 2016. And it looks like on the front it says fuck ever.
It does look like fuck ever.
Zach Jarrett from Psychic Wines was like, I know you're going to read this as fuck ever, but that's Jacquère. And
it's,
I was like,
it's good. It's like textural. It's
super textural. So, on the color, it kind of has a green hue to it.
Yeah.
Very, very lively straw with a little bit of green. It's a very spring, like a darker hued spring color wine, in my personal opinion.
I would enjoy this. And I know this is like some Somme shit, but like with like, a big wheel of Comté or like a big sort of harder, saltier cheese.
Or the Comté Lay's potato chips you get at the gas stations in France.
Or the Comté Lay's potato chips. But like some sort of like, or like an aged Gouda, like some sort of harder crystallized cheese.
I was going to say a crystallized cheese because even like, I feel like this would still go well with like a Parmesan even.
Yeah, totally.
But it has a really beautiful texture on it. The nose... The nose, I feel like, is like a really pretty pear, and it's but like a ripe pear, like a ripe Asian pear. Maybe not bruised, like it's not oxidative really, but it's really nice and ripe smelling, very pearish. And on, you know, the palate, I think it has a beautiful texture. Like it's a gorgeous texture. It's not too big of
not
a body.
Too weighty, yeah.
Yeah, it's not, you know, it's not heavy. It's not punching you in the face. I know we've talked about this before, but maybe we just have personally, but it feels like almost like the white wines have become the heavier wines.
Yeah,
absolutely. As the redder wines, you know, or the
like
red wines have become lighter.
My perception of wine is switching, where it's like when I want a heavier wine, I go for white, and when I want a lighter wine, I go for red.
Yeah.
For some reason,
I think it's just like with all the oxidative trends.
Yeah, people are doing more skin contact with their white wines.
Yes. Yeah.
And they're doing less skin contact with the
red
wines.
Yeah. It's a beautiful wine, though.
Yeah.
Which we know nothing about. Which brings us to our subject, because if maybe we had a sommelier here, besides the one that's sitting across.
No, if we had like a bona fide pin in his lapel
sommelier serving us this wine,
possibly he or she
or they
would know
everything about this wine.
Or enough information. And so we, through that, Marissa and I were like, well, there's sort of conversation going around in the community where it's like, are somms?
I was
going to
say, a lot. I think that where we want to start, because a lot of people ask me this question, like, am I a sommelier? What is a sommelier? Should I be a sommelier? So let's just go through.
All right. So
the who, what, where's of sommelierdom.
Totally. So let's start with the very basic. So what is a sommelier? If you're going with the true classic definition, it is just a French word. And if you translate it into English, it would translate to wine steward. We don't have a one word example of that, but wine steward and sommelier would be the same thing. That's pretty much a direct translation. And what does that mean? That means that it is the person who is responsible for the wine that's serving it, selling it, storing it, keeping inventory on it, and that is their job at a restaurant or a hotel, or even actually if you want to go a little bit farther back at some manor. So like that would be the butler was the sommelier.
I think a lot of rich people still have like a on-call person that they have to do stuff. And it's also like a sommelier is in charge of, you know, not only serving you wine, but like helping guests of the restaurant or whatever hospitality establishment.
I think that's the part of the evolution of it turned into like a, I don't know if originally if, I think, at least in my mind, I imagine back to like the 50s and like there was only like 11 wines being sold, so everybody kind of already knew everything. But that's not true.
Well,
obviously.
Yeah, but now, okay, but today, like a sommelier is in charge of, you know, helping and educating their customers and guests on the wine as well as the list and, you know, helping them navigate that list.
I think that's almost become more of that job in its forefront is like a education.
As a consumer, which is, should just be my catchphrase, like we should just put it on.
Marissa, is that what the A stands for?
Yeah,
as a consumer.
Yeah, it's always changing. I usually just say asshole, but today it's as a consumer. Sometimes it's as a wine writer.
Yeah.
Anyways, as a consumer, I consider, you know, a sommelier's like primary responsibility, you know, with me being the guest, is like to help me figure out what the fuck to drink and what I'm drinking. So that's what a sommelier is.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite simple. I think in recent, it's sort of like the word chef, like in recent years, it's sort of exploded into, it almost means, I feel like a sommelier is almost turned into, it means that you're like a celebrity wine personality almost. Does that mean, like,
I know
a lot of people will refer to people.
I'm just like, there's a lot of sommeliers out there. If they all think they're celebrities.
No, I'm not saying that they think they're celebrities. I'm saying that the general public, I have come across a lot where it's like, oh, that person's a sommelier. You're like, well, not technically, no, they're not. Like, technically speaking, yes, they, like, educate the public on wine a little bit. Like, do people?
Yeah, I guess what you're saying is that the title of sommelier has kind of become a bit more fluid.
Yeah, it's left the doors of a restaurant and is now sort of
and I think that's also with like the somm films and you know
I think when I was working the floor of restaurants, that movie came out And if I had a nickel for every time someone said, have you seen the movie Saw?
You'd be a billionaire.
Probably 8 or 9 nickels. No, it was, you know, and I think that those sort of things are pushing wine forward, but also sort of can be confusing to consumers as well.
Yeah, and let's, so Adam is a sommelier, a certified sommelier.
I would
sommelier.
Say was, but yeah, is.
Okay, was. I mean,
was, is.
Did you like burn your diplomas and shit or something?
No.
I mean, I don't know if you get diplomas. I
know, they give you a diploma and a little pen.
All right, and for everyone that may be confused at all, Adam was a sommelier.
Correct.
Certified, bona fide, motherfucking sommelier.
Yeah.
Marissa as a consumer Ross over here. Never has been a sommelier.
Stepped room nor stepped foot.
Nope.
Excuse me. In any of those lessons.
Nope.
Never did blind tasting practice.
Never taken a class.
Never was in a group with flashcards where you guys would test each other.
I couldn't even do that when I wasn't having to pay for it.
Yeah.
So it wasn't going to happen. But a lot of people ask me, you know, about these things. So we just want to go into it. So, you know, what do you need to do to be a sommelier?
Well, so where I was saying sort of the word has evolved a little bit. So now if you really want to be a sommelier, technically speaking, all you have to do is work at a restaurant and sell wine.
Yeah, because there's actually a few people that I've met, you know, in Los Angeles, like more so before I really knew so much about wine and was as in the wine industry as I am now, that said that they were sommeliers that weren't.
Because they didn't work in restaurants.
Well, no, they worked in restaurants, but they never got certifications for it.
But that's
but that's like confusing. So you don't have to necessarily.
It's not like being a doctor. I would equate it to being a dishwasher. So like.
Wow.
No, not in that sense. But what I'm saying is that like.
You're like, it's like a chef, but a dishwasher.
I guess a chef is a better example. People go to culinary school.
Yeah, and
but
some people don't.
But you don't need to go to culinary school technically, to be a chef.
So I could kind of be a sommelier if I wanted to get a job in a restaurant.
Yeah, if you worked the floor at a restaurant and your primary duties were wine.
And they were like, stop cussing, no more pictures in your underwear.
Yeah.
No checking out the bottle.
Stop sitting down and eating food off of people's plates.
You're not, no one here is your friend.
Yeah.
You know, the maybe.
Yeah, so like you can be a sommelier who went through the classes. Or you can be a sommelier who worked your way up, and they're both equal, and they're both on the same level, and they're both the same thing for all intents and purposes.
And so, Adam, like, since you went through this, you know, to have the technical title.
Yes.
Although we might have just said that technically you don't need the title.
Well, no, what you're saying is like on my resume I can put certified level blah.
Yes, so Adam.
Advanced level blah.
Yes, because that's the thing is like, so you can get these certifications and these titles and these lapel pins that I make fun of a lot just because I can. And for the record, I don't have a problem with sommeliers, but I guess we'll get into this. Well, I'm sure it'll come up, but I don't have a problem with sommeliers. A lot of people think I do. I don't. I'm just not one, and that's fine. But so, you know, you can get these certifications, you get these titles, you can get these pins. And, you know, Adam, tell us a little bit about that experience.
Well, so, I mean, first you have to pay a shit buttload of money.
Yeah, what, did you go up through, like, WSET?
I did WSET, yeah, WSET. But thankfully, I was working for a company. So the way I ended up taking these classes, I was working for a company that was the first place that was going to offer the classes in California. So they needed test runs for each class. So they offered the test runs to everybody that was working at where I was working. And so anybody that wanted to could. So I guess technically, so like we were like the first test run of each level of class. So anytime,
so what level did you get through?
In WSET, I got to level 3, which is like one step away from diploma.
Nice.
And there's somebody right now listening who's like, that's not the quartermaster sommelier. He's technically didn't. But I didn't go quartermaster because at the time, I was not working the floor of a restaurant.
At the time, it wasn't free.
Yeah, well, exactly. But also, I wasn't working on restaurants. Originally, my goal was not to work in restaurants. So I was going a more literary sort of, I don't know. I was working in wine retail, and I never really saw myself working in restaurants.
Yeah.
If I'm really honest. So the quartermaster system didn't make sense to me because I was like, why do I need to learn how to properly serve somebody a bottle of wine when I'm never going to do that.
But they don't teach that at WSCT?
If they do, I don't remember it. And if they did, it was very basic.
You were like, that was when I was drinking tequila and falling on my face.
Yeah, Jancis Robinson.
Janice Robinson, yes.
Yes, she is a big advocate for the WSET. Usually the people who do WSET go the Master of Wine route, where the Court of Master Sommelier go the Master Sommelier route. So one is a little bit more, typically a little bit more service and restaurant and on the field.
And that's the Court of...
Court of Master. And then the Master of Wine route, the WSET, is typically more literary, more people who want to like... study, and it goes some winemakers or people who are sort of a little bit more behind the scenes, not on the floor.
And so what did you have to do in like these classes? Like what was
it? It was a lot of studying. I mean, imagine it'd be like, okay, we're going to learn about New Zealand. So here are all the regions of New Zealand. Here are the soil types. Here are the grapes.
What are they?
Oh, I don't know. Remember anymore. And then here's the grape varieties that are grown here. Here's the typical... the capacity of those wines, and then you would typically drink something from there, or you know, and you would taste, and then at the end we would have, this was over a decade ago that I did this, so I don't remember fully, but, and then there was, you know, we would have to take like written and multiple choice tests.
But it was like classes though, like you went to classes.
Yeah, you would go to class, and you have
because
like,
there's also some things where like you just study on your own and you just pay to take a test.
Oh, that,
right?
I'm possibly. I don't know. I know with the quartermaster sommelier system, like the first one, the level one is a little bit like, I know it's like, I think you do it as like a huge group and like thousands of people can do it at once.
Oh, wow.
And then as you go, obviously it weeds people out. I think you have to be like invited to sit for the master sommelier exam.
Yeah, I think that's different. Like if when you get that,
to me,
when you get
so
that higher
exclusive,
up.
Which means that the people who, it's like they can pick and choose who does it and who doesn't do it then. I don't know. That's a weird thing to me. I don't know. The whole thing was just a little... I just never... in all honesty, just school was just never something that...
Yeah, well, we both are not...
I thought going to school for wine was going to be any different than going to school for anything else.
Because we both dropped out.
Yeah, I never went to college.
Yeah, we never went to college. So, like, I mean, we both graduated high school.
So, I prefer the self-taught route. It's just something that I've always enjoyed.
Yeah. But, I mean, so, yeah, there's... When you're... I guess regardless of whether you're coming up through WSET or, you know, the court, like, you're going to have to do... a lot of studying, a lot of blind tasting, a lot of reading, and all the things I don't enjoy.
Studying.
I just don't like studying.
One of the quips or like little like go tos when people are like, "Oh my God, I saw that movie Psalm, blah blah." Like, "Oh, that's so intense." Or da-da. It goes, "Yeah, but." And then people usually make something like, "Oh, you must drink so much," or "Oh, you're so much drinking," and like the quip is like, to become a sommelier, you have to read as much as you drink.
I think that's fair, though. I think that I've read as much as I've... I mean, I know that I say I don't read a lot about wine, but I've researched enough as much... or I've researched as much as I've drank. That's how I learned everything, which I guess is the same, except I just enjoyed doing it on my own terms.
Yeah.
Because I'm a rule breaker.
Absolutely.
Gotta be myself. But that's not to say that, you know... like I said earlier, I don't have any problem with sommeliers. I think that it's so funny because people are like, "You hate sommeliers." I'm like, "No,
well,
I don't."
You're associated with me, and I definitely put out a vibe that I don't.
Well,
like
I think
sommeliers.
We both do. I think that we just don't like. I think that we don't like a particular brand of human, whether that be in wine or in food or anything. If it's just some asshole that wants to be better than other people,
I also don't like Donald Trump.
Yeah, exactly. Just people that are assholes.
And I'm gonna say it. This is going out on the airwaves. Some psalms give me the same vibe that Donald Trump gives me.
A lot of people give me the same vibe as Donald Trump does. I was sitting next to a guy at jury selection, and I was like, this guy, I like pulled out my New Yorker, and I was like, maybe he'll move away from me if he thinks I'm like a very scary, contagious liberal.
Yeah.
But it didn't work. But another question people ask me a lot, like that I really don't have that many answers for, but it's like, should I take sommelier classes? Like, should I get certified? Like, should I become a sommelier?
Yeah, is that something that I should do?
And
hi, Marissa. My name is Yosef Magatory, and I just got into wine, and I'm thinking about doing it professionally. Do you think it would be right for me to take these classes?
And I say, do you want to work in hospitality?
What's a hospital?
Basically, if you want to, in my personal opinion, if you want to work in hospitality, if you want to work in a restaurant, a hotel, one of these, you know, I don't know what else hospitality actually does besides hotels.
Whale watching tours, that's hospitality.
Oh, yeah, tours. Tours are also, yeah, not hospitals, though.
No.
Tours of hospitals, definitely.
For some reason, in hospitals, they don't call it hospitality. They call it bedside manner.
Yeah.
Which is weird. You'd think in hospitals, they would call it hospitality.
Yeah, you'd think so, but the world is a confusing place. If that's your plan, like if you want to work in a restaurant, like you want to be in that world, then I think, yes, go and get your sommelier certification. Like, I think that that's a great idea. Like, if that's something that you want to pursue and that you want to be in that world specifically, I think that's great.
So, yeah, if you're saying, like, you know what I really want to do? I want to be the beverage director of a restaurant
group. Of a Michael Voltaggio.
Of a restaurant group, right? I want to work for somebody who's got four restaurants, and I want to be their beverage director.
I want to be on top of that shit.
Yeah, I think that there is a certain amount of, I mean, now we're just talking about, like, numbers and business. This is, I think, the aspect of it that comes off very Trumpian to me. But, like, you're just talking about, like, numbers and business, and, like, you're looking at spreadsheets all day, and everything is, like...
So, yeah, if that's your plan to, like, work at a hospitality group, you know, and be the beverage director, and, or, you know, that's, I think sommelier shit would be great for you. Like, if you're into studying and that's what you want in life, that's your career goal, then why would you not do it? You know, like, why would you, to me...
Right, if you're like, if somebody is making a decision, no offense, based on, like, things that you've said or I've said in reference to, but, like, it goes against what they actually want to do, what you want to do.
Yeah, do what you, definitely do what you want to do.
Like, don't listen to what other people have to say. Like, if you're like, I want to study soils so badly, then go do it.
I think that you absolutely should. For other industry jobs, like if you want to work in the wine industry, because I have a lot of people that ask me like, oh, I want to work for an importer, or I want to become a distributor, or I want to work in a wine shop. Should I become a sommelier? I don't know.
I think we can go back and reference what we said originally of like, what is a sommelier? It's somebody who works, is a wine steward who works the floor of a restaurant.
Who actually is in a restaurant or at a hotel or and not a hospital.
Yeah, I don't know how necessary it
is. I don't think it's necessary.
The knowledge isn't going to hurt you. Having knowledge never hurt anybody.
No. So I think that if you want to work in another industry job, will sommelier courses help you? Of course, because they're not going to hurt you. But are they necessary? No. And like for the regular consumer... Do you like? I have so many people that are like, I just want to learn about wine. Like, should I take sommelier courses? I'm like, I don't think so. Like, unless you're trying to get paid in the wine industry somehow,
it's going to cost you money.
Because it costs.
How are you going to recoup those losses?
Yes, which we will get into. But because, like, if you're just a normal ass fucking wine drinker and you want to learn about wine, one, I wrote a book just for you.
You know what you should do? Get on Amazon. Order a copy of Marissa.
Oh, we forgot to tell you that we were stopping to have a word from our sponsor.
Oh, yeah. Hi, do you like to drink wine and read words and
but
books?
You don't want to work in the wine industry?
Have I got the thing for you?
Wine All the Time, the casual guide to confident drinking, now available at local bookstores and Amazon. Anyways.
From your free, yeah.
I don't think you need to do that. As someone that is a consumer and is now a professional wine writer, I don't think that you need to do that. But, you know, there is a lot of pros to having a wine, you know, to having a sommelier certification.
Sure. I'm sure that there's...
You have a lot of knowledge, as we said.
Yeah, if you go through with the whole thing, masters definitely have an incredible amount of knowledge.
Dude, yeah. Like, they know... I mean, and while I'm a big proponent of the fact that no one knows everything in wine, like, it's impossible to know everything because...
It changes every day.
Yeah, and also, too, like, there's master sommeliers that don't know anything about the wines that I'm drinking, just like I
would say that's probably pretty common, to
yeah,
be honest.
Yeah, so it's like, there's master sommeliers, or, like, you know, I have a friend that's, like, extremely high up, like, is... I'm not going to get into why he's not quite a master yet, but, you know, he... Like, it's not that... We're smarter than one another, really. It's that we just have very different knowledge. Like, it's just extremely different knowledge.
I'm going to use a music analogy. It's sort of like, did Did somebody go to like Juilliard or Berklee School of Music and like learn all of this? And they're like, maybe they're classical or they're jazz musicians, and they went through that and they did all that. And then there's somebody who's like, I picked up a guitar and I taught myself how to play and I sing songs. Like, are they both musicians? Absolutely. Are they both have value? Absolutely.
Do they both have knowledge?
Absolutely. Can they, do they have shared knowledge? Some things, but there's a lot of stuff that classically trained musician is going to know.
That like a guy that's playing guitar in his garage with like a lo-fi.
Or
like,
even somebody who's just like super self-taught, like someone yeah. like Tyler, the Creator, is going to know. Yeah. Or Kanye West.
Well, now you're also referencing like, which I think kind of, which is the point I thought you were going to make, which is like someone that's classically, that's trained in like classical music may not know everything that like Kendrick Lamar
yeah,
who does hip hop, you know,
absolutely.
And of course there's crossover, but like, and this also ties into like how he won the, what he won the, Kendrick won what the
best rapper alive.
No, he won like the, he won like a Pulitzer.
Oh yeah. No, he, yeah, he won.
I was like, he won the Nobel Peace Prize. I'm like, I don't think Kendrick Lamar,
he won
the Pulitzer.
Pulitzer.
Yeah. He won a Pulitzer and there was all these classical musicians that were like pissed off about it.
Was it a Pulitzer?
I'm pretty sure it's a Pulitzer.
All right. No, we're going to go with Pulitzer. But yes,
he hasn't won it yet. He's going
to
win.
He was the first person to win this award who was
not a classical musician. And a lot of people questioned it. And it's like, of course, there's crossover. But at the same time, like, just because you're a master in one art form or one, you know, study or one thing does not mean that, you know everything.
And doesn't devalue the other thing.
And it doesn't devalue the other thing either. And so I think, like, the one thing, like, the positives of doing sommelier, like certifications, all that stuff is like, you're going to walk away with a ton of knowledge that like, I don't have, like, yeah. I don't have that.
I think it's a solid foundation.
Yeah. And you can grow from there. It's not like you have to stop after, you know, whatever. And, you know, not, and also you have like proof of that knowledge. It's like, yo,
look at this, the fucking lapel.
I did it.
You see this little green bitch right here?
I accomplish shit. I know shit.
This means I'm smart and yeah. paid some money.
No one wants me to wear a pin that just says I'm Marissa, a consumer Ross, and be like, oh, that's respectable. Like, but lapel, like the.
I don't know. I kind of want to be like, I wish we had consumer feedback. I want to be like, who out there in Radioland would buy a pin that made you like there was like a Ross test pen. I'm gonna stop because I feel like I'm hitting on something that's gold.
Yeah,
and
I think. We'll discuss that later. But anyways, you have proof of proof of education. You have basically a diploma.
Yeah,
which is useful in the world. You know, those
in the world we live in today, I will say not having a diploma has helped, but in some ways it has hindered. And I think that crazy how the world works that way, that it can be both black and white, or as I like to call it, gray.
It's very gray, yeah. I mean, it took me a very long time to be a professional writer.
Yeah.
And part of that was because I didn't go to school for it. And like, whatever, you know, that's fine. But like,
okay, so
anyways, but you know, I think that it's great to have a proof of knowledge. This is something that can get you in the door of a job, you know, that maybe you would get disqualified for otherwise. Like, I think a sommelier would probably be picked over me, you know, for a lot of things.
I would say mostly anything.
Really anything. like aside from the job that I already have, which is basically just being me at this point, and drinking. So, you know, the pros of being a sommelier is that you have knowledge, you have a proof of said knowledge.
Yeah.
And that can get you in the door for a lot of things and also get your resume pushed to the...
Yeah, if you were going to move to New York and you were like, I want to start working in restaurants, I guarantee you having that certification for a lot of the restaurants there, not all of them, but a lot of the restaurants there, is going to help you get through that door.
Absolutely. And there's nothing, you know, knowledge is power, you know, that's incredible. And to be able to, you know, be like, oh, I smell this and I know this is XYZ or, you know, whatever. No one can take that away from you. And that's always going to be a plus. So yeah. There's a lot of pros to being a sommelier if, you know, you love wine or, you know, you want to.
Love soil.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Now, conversely,
the cons.
There are also a lot of cons, I feel.
Not cons as in con men.
I don't think there's probably
There's
probably a lot of con men.
We're not going to get into con men, though.
They're going to say convicts. And I was like, I don't know. A lot of convicts, but con men, yes.
Not convicts because they're probably not white or rich enough.
yeah, they got arrested. but they were never convicted.
They were like, ooh, I was a lawyer, and then I, you know, I got arrested and convicted, and now I'm going to be a sommelier.
Yeah.
No, I'm teasing.
I had a meme once a long time ago that I was very proud of that was when, for being a sommelier, was when a when being a pharmaceutical rep is too difficult.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, anyways, some of the cons of being a sommelier. For me, the reason I didn't do it was because I never had the money for it.
Yeah, it's
very
expensive.
It's like $500 a test.
Oh, it goes. It's exponential. The first one is, it's like Scientology.
I was just about to say, it reminded me of Scientology, which I was like, why am I like paying all this money?
They pull you in like with, it's like, only, it's only this much. And then like exponentially gets more and more and more. And then if you want to go all the way to master, you've invested, I'm pulling this out of my butt. I don't know if this, but I think it's somewhere between like 10 and 20 grand.
Probably, because also too, like,
you have to travel, you have to buy all this wine.
And also too, like, if you fail these tests, you don't get your money back.
No, you take them over and pay again.
Yeah, exactly. So you're paying a ton of money.
Yeah.
So when I first started getting interested in wine, and
I'm sure your thetan levels aren't just like.
Well, now my thetan levels are going out of control. you know, so when I first started, it was a money issue, but also too, like, I don't like school. Like, yeah. I'm not a school person. Like, I mean,
fortunately, even wine school.
Yeah, I don't want to go to wine school, man. Like, I've never had the desire. You know, I've always wanted to just do what I wanted to do, and I've always done that, and it's worked out for me. I mean, it's taken a long-ass motherfucking time for it to work out for me, and who knows how long it will last working out for me, but, you know, that's not for me. Like, I have a very, 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 very hard time taking in information that I don't care about.
Yeah.
Like, if I don't fucking care about something, like math, I'm really, really bad at math, and that's because I just don't care. Like, I don't fucking care. Like, it never applied to me. I never wanted to do it, but I would spend my free time reading a dictionary when I was a kid. Like, that's, you know.
Yeah.
So a con is, one of the cons, you know, the money, and then, like, you actually have to go to school.
Cool. For me, on that sort of same level, when I'm learning, I typically like to choose my own path. So, like, I'm learning something, and I'm like, oh, I didn't know that. Let me go research that thing I didn't know. Or let me go do, and it was sort of where I could deviate and
You get to do your own thing.
Yeah, I could explore and learn on the pace and the direction and the things I wanted to learn. Whereas when you go to these things, it's a little bit monolithic. It's a little bit where it's like, here's everything that everyone has to learn.
Well, no, it's like school. You have to learn it. It's like, you have to read The Grapes of Wrath.
Yeah.
Or you have to read.
That's a great book.
I don't remember it because that was the year that I slept through.
Steinbeck is one of my all-time favorites. But anyway.
Steinbeck's amazing.
That's besides the
point. Wait, real quick,
point.
I'm just going to do this because I started it. But like, and it's kind of an amazing story because English is obviously my best subject. But there was this one English, I think like my junior year of high school. I found out that the teacher I had, my English teacher, if you didn't turn in your homework, instead of it going to zero, like in the computer system, it went to 100 because she didn't change the settings. And like my friend that was a TA, like a senior, told me. So I basically slept all through class, like every single class I just slept through, didn't turn in my homework, and then would read the book and then take the test and then like ace the test. And so I passed with like an A. And everyone's like, how the fuck do you have an A like plus in this class? You sleep and never turn anything in.
I'm a fucking genius.
Yeah, and I was like, I'm a genius. And then I had to like start like kind of doing worse on my test to be like, oh, I need to, because you know the grades. Anyways, that was tight.
Yeah.
Talk about how much I don't like school. I don't think you can sleep through sommelier courses and still pass them.
Like, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, so if all of a sudden they're like, and now we're gonna learn about, you know, these wines. And it's like, I don't give one fucking rat's ass about these wines. I don't care. I'm not interested.
I don't want to drink them.
I'm never going to be a part of this, but you have to. It's forced.
It's like, school.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah. And then like, if you're in class and it's like, today we're going to study the wines of Bakersfield. I'm sorry. I don't mean Baker. Like, I don't want to say anything out loud. Today we're going to study the wines of the moon. And you're like, I don't care about, like, I don't want to be rude, but like, just, I'm never going to drink wine, moon wine. I'm never going to be a part of moon wine. Moon wine is
I think moon wine fucking sucks.
No, it's just not for me.
It's not for me. Like, other people can like it, but I don't like it.
Yeah, and then you're going to spend your entire, like, I don't want to say...
week?
Yeah, but then, like, what I was going to say is then, like, wine, like you were saying, is like this infinite realm of possibilities as far... or, like, learning and knowledge. So there is a point where, like, there's going to things that are going to be omitted. And so, like, you're going to be learning about moon wine, but what you really wanted to learn about was Mars wine. And maybe the Mars wine section is not going to be as full as the moon wine section.
Yeah.
And so, like, you're just... you're not in control. And like what I was saying
it's
earlier,
school.
I like to control what I learn.
Yeah, and it's school. Like, it's school. Like, yeah. you don't go to class and decide the curriculum.
Exactly. And that's like, sort of that... I think... so that's cons.
Yeah, those are the cons. But, you know, as I said a couple times, it's not that we're anti-SOM. It's like...
we're anti-school.
Yeah, we're anti-school. And we're also anti, like, elitism, which is, you know... yeah. I think that the... you know, I think... where people think that I am anti-sommelier is that I just am against the elitism that a lot of sommeliers have had towards me, which I don't appreciate. But I'm against elitism
I've never had this thought before, but it just hit on me and I figured it out.
What?
I think I solved it. I solved it. The elitism what? Problem in the somm community. They paid a lot of money.
Well, no shit.
And they're upset because they're like, I spent thousands of dollars for this pen and this knowledge.
And I want to now impose all of this money I spent.
Or not even for you or for me or for anyone to
for
say,
anyone.
Well, I don't care about your opinion or I'm just not interested in having that conversation with you. I think that there's something in the back of their head which is like, but I paid for it.
But it's also like... it's an entitlement. It would, and it just, it
but
doesn't.
It's not all psalms. There are.
It's not. No,
there are
plenty.
Definitely psalms that I know that I'm friends with
no,
that I'm
and,
very close to.
No,
I'm not, it, we're, this is not a blanket
and,
statement.
No, this is not a blanket statement at all. I think that why people think that I'm anti-sommelier is because I'm anti-elitism, and those are two different things. And honestly, when I think about a sommelier, I think that sommeliers are extremely important to restaurants and hotels, like, and the hospitality industry. I think they are important because you know what? Like, you want someone to guide you through this. Like, I can't be with you. Like, I can't be with you as much as you guys DM me. I can't be with you for every, like, trip you take.
Wait, what about when I DM you? I'm like, hey, Marissa, I'm at Shoney's and I want to know, should I order a glass of their house red or should I get a mudslide? You
I'm
never
like,
respond back.
No, I never respond back. Well, it's too hard. It's just there's too many.
I'm
of
at
them.
Fucking Shoney's, and I need to know what you would do.
If someone texted or someone DM me that they were at Shoney's, I would actually maybe answer because I'd be like, "We never left the Shoney's. We never left the Shoney's."
You'd be like Szechuan sauce.
Yeah. So, but you know, I have so much, and I say this to like even just like college graduates. You know, there's like a 24-year-old that's like, "I got a communications degree or whatever," and I'm like, you know what? Great for you. Like, fuck yeah. Like, you have a discipline and you have a diploma. I have zero
what if
discipline.
It's from Arizona State University.
That's most of them. Most of the communications degrees. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, whatever it is that you, I have so much respect for people that can sit down, hunker down, like, get a diploma, study,
yeah,
and, like,
done.
And get shit done. And that is something that should be, you know, applauded. Like, that's, yeah, that's awesome. And like, if you're a sommelier, like, I want you to know that, like, I have a lot of respect for you. And the first thing I do when I go to a restaurant is like, I want to meet you.
Yeah.
Like, I tell,
I want to meet that somm.
Yeah. And I tell my readers to put a lot of faith in sommeliers because you know what? There's a billion fucking wines. And just like how you won't know everything about any specific thing,
yeah,
in wine, it's impossible to know all the producers. It's impossible to know, like, every single wine. And, you know, even as someone that drinks a shit ton of wine, like, I go to restaurants and I won't know half of what's on the menu.
Yeah, I typically, honestly, a wine store or a restaurant, unless I go to a restaurant that I just don't want to be talked to and I want to be totally left alone, I almost exclusively ask opinions or
yeah,
advice from almost exclusively.
I do too. I always talk to the staff. I always talk to sommelier, and even like, and if there isn't like a sommelier, I like talk to my waiter. Like, I want to know, you know, especially in a restaurant situation, because for me, you know, what the staff knows the food and should know the wine. They don't often. always know the wine as
that's
well.
That's the
they
fault
do
the psalm.
That's the fault of and the fault of the restaurant.
Well, ideally, the psalm should be training the staff. So
absolutely, but maybe they don't have a sommelier. Maybe, but
right,
someone.
Right.
Because, like, you know, a couple, or I guess like 2 years ago, maybe now, like Adam Rappaport came out to L.A. and we were at a restaurant that I very much respected and love, and they do have a great wine list. And the guy that was serving me is someone I knew, and like I trusted him, and I was like, just bring us out what you think is going to go great with this. And my boss was like, what are you doing? And I was like, I always trust the staff.
Yeah.
And he was like, that is the worst, dumbest thing I've ever heard anyone say in my life. And I was like, no. And then it totally backfired. And like this person that I actually did like totally trust and stuff brought me
fucked
out.
You.
Yeah. Just brought out some shit that I really didn't like, that my boss didn't like. And it was embarrassing. So like, I want to promote the staff and like sommeliers being the experts of a wine list in a restaurant or hotel and be able to offer that service. But also on the consumer side, just have conversations. Maybe don't just blindly go with whatever they say.
Yeah.
You know, like make.
Give some parameters.
Yeah. We'll save this for a different episode. But
I also wanted to say, I wanted to bring something up that is a big thing. And because I think I've read a couple things like, are psalms still, like, are they going to exist? And, like, what's the future of the psalm? Or are, you know, and just a lot of people sort of talking about sommeliers and stuff. And I think that one of the key factors that we haven't touched on, but is something that is definitely fighting against the psalm is the access to information.
Yeah.
That the average, so I'd say 10 years ago when I was working in the restaurants, but let's be honest, 20 years ago, not everybody had encyclopedias in their pockets that they could look up whatever wine
totally.
Or whatever they were. So it was important to have somebody on staff who could come over and answer the questions that you had. But the more that we have access to information through our phones, the more or the less we need those jobs and those people. What we need them to do, quite honestly, is build the lists.
I disagree.
You still like talking to them?
Well, it's not so much that I really like talking. I mean, it depends on the sommelier. I think that sommeliers are actually extremely important because, and this is why I was saying, you know, I think it's important for staffs to be trained and yeah. and for sommeliers to be on the floor. And because when I go to a restaurant, I want to have a full experience. And if I've never eaten there before, if I've never had the food, if I don't know anything about the food, maybe I want to be able to have a full experience that is the food and the wine together coming together
right. And hopefully the staff can do that.
Exactly. And I want the staff to do that. Like, and that's why I think that, you know, I got cornered at a wine festival a couple years ago by a sommelier who really let me have it for about 45 minutes about how I'm ruining sommelier, the job of sommelier with like my Instagram and like just, you know, whatever the fuck. I don't know. She just, I can't give you the whole 45 minutes of why she was so angry with me. But it was basically that she felt that what I do and like my Instagram and those things was like eliminating the relevancy of the psalm. Whereas I'm like, no, this is why we need sommeliers. Like I'm not in a restaurant with everybody, you know, like I'm not there helping people pick out what to eat or what to drink, you know, and I'm not knowledgeable on everything. Like what I do is I promote the wines that I love. And like, if they're coming into a restaurant and you know, want those wines, there needs to be a sommelier there or someone there that knows wine well enough that can say, hey, I don't have that, but I know I can get you something like it.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to be there to do that for everyone. And so I think that...
No matter how much they DM you.
No matter how many DMs you send me, I'm not going to... Yeah. I'm also just not answering anymore.
I mean,
it's too stressful.
It's happened less and less, I think, but I used to get phone calls from relatives and friends, and I always appreciate it. But like, I'm at Ralph's right now, and I need to buy a bottle of wine for this. What should I get? And I'm like, what the fuck?
You're like, first of all, you're Ralph.
No, but even still, I'm like,
I don't. Well, I still get those.
What are you at? You might as well just be like, I'm on Netflix right now, and I want to know what movie should I watch.
But you aren't a film meme critic, psalm.
It doesn't
person.
Matter. It's just like it's still. You're like so a infinite possibilities, and you just want me to. And then you're like, you make some suggestion, and then they're like, No, not into that. And you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's the worst. I mean,
watch The Expanse. It's one of the better fucking sci-fi shows that have happened in the last decade.
What? But I think that this is, you know, this is, I think that some, I genuinely do think that sommeliers are relevant. I think they're important. And I think that it's a worthwhile career to have if that's something you want. Like, I really, like I said, I do rally against the elitism that I've, and also like the prejudice that I personally have faced over, because I know, well, now it's a little bit different. Like,
well, they've,
you know,
joined. I'm really proud. Now,
they've joined in. But like, Adam, you've known me for a while.
Yeah.
When I first kind of like broke into the wine industry, like,
she couldn't even spell wine.
I couldn't spell wine. No, I could spell wine. I just couldn't pronounce it.
Yeah. She's like, wine.
Yeah. No, but I mean, I have faced a lot of pushback and, you know, a lot of anger towards me because I didn't go vitriol, exactly. From people because I didn't go that route. And so my pushback was like,
sorry, I had gas.
Yeah. That definitely wasn't Zizou barking. My pushback was like, fuck you, you're an elitist. Like, just because I didn't have the money to go, you know, and because I don't like studying and because I'm doing well doesn't make me less of a person. But the truth is, I'm not anti-sommelier. I think it's really awesome. And if you have the money and time to spend and you enjoy studying in school, I guess, but if that's something you want, that's fucking great.
I do want to add to that, though, which is, if you are going to go that route and you're going to do all that, don't be a dick about it.
Don't be a fucking dick about it.
Go and maybe explore and see what else is out there and hang out with people who might not have the same point of view as you, but whatever. But don't be a dick about it.
Just remember that, like, you started somewhere. Like, and that's something that I think, like, it's really, really important to me is, like, reminding people, I'm not trying to shame you out of drinking Two Buck Chuck. I used to drink Two Buck Chuck. That's fine. Like, I'm not judging you for that. I'm just giving you the information. So it's like about, like, you know, don't be a dick.
In the words of the prophet Drake, started from the bottom, now I'm here.
And now I'm going to be nice for what? You're being nice because not everyone has access to that knowledge.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, no matter what, the reason that we love wine so much is because it's meant to be shared.
It's a incredibly inclusive thing.
It's the only liquor that you say share a bottle of wine. You know, like, I have this analogy in my book, and I pull it out pretty often. But, you know, no one really says that.
Marissa Analogy Ross.
Yeah, another one. You know, no one really says, hey, let's share a bottle of vodka. You know, one, because you're going to fall on your face with J. Cole. But two, you know, it's, we're all going to take vodka a different way. You know, like, some people like it on the rocks, some like it with soda, some like it, you know, like a Greyhound. And it's not a shared experience. Wine is meant to be shared. It's a shared subjective experience where we're all kind of having this one thing in a glass that came from one bottle. And we're kind of meant, I feel like we're meant to talk about it. We're meant to, like, gather around it and, like, be together. And so what's, I think, so important about sommeliers moving forward, and I think that they're doing a great job of this, you know, in recent years, is embracing the fact that people don't know everything and that people do want to learn, even if they may be a little scared or intrepid, you know, like, they want that. And sommeliers should be nurturing that thirst for knowledge and community and sharing and give away their knowledge. Like, the reason that you learn all of this shit is to give it to someone else. So do it. Like, that's what's important.
I'm going to name names right now.
Damn.
And I'm going to name names. So Ordinaire puts together a natural wine fair called Brumaire. And I think in its sort of infancy, it's still relatively young. But a lot of people have this sort of impression that it is this sort of hyper elitist natural thing that is sort of looks at the pro som community and is like, you guys are not allowed. Not even.
But,
like,
what's funny is that Brumaire, now that you bring it up, Brumaire is the place where I got fucking bitched out because I'm ruining sommeliers.
Which is bizarre to me. That's
bizarre. It was so bizarre.
What I was gonna say is, last Brumaire I was at, there were soms from New York, Patrick Capiello, who I don't think has done any of the programs, but is, you know, he's a sommelier, very famous sommelier.
Absolutely.
Raj Par, who's a very famous sommelier, now an turned author? Wine maker.
No, an author.
Was there pouring his wine.
And now he's a wine director. I just got a press thing for Raj. He's a wine director somewhere.
It's very inclusive, and it was very, and no matter what anybody's opinions or ideas or beliefs, we all got together and we drank wine, and it was awesome, and it was fun. And we had great conversation, and there's nothing more fun than getting more like a playful discussion or slash argument with people over bottles of wine and just getting, having fun. And I just think that they're, you know, worry, come to Brumaire. We'll go hang out with you guys at wherever you hang out.
Yeah. It's not like, I think what's really cool about the natural wine community is that we are pretty inclusive of everyone.
Yeah.
Like, as long as you want to share a bottle of wine with us, then we're down.
And
like
your cocaine.
Yeah. All right.
That was a joke.
That
but
was
anyway,
a joke. Although there is a... We don't need to get into it. All right. On that note, if you want to be a sommelier, fucking do it. If you don't. Drink wine. Be proud of both. Drink wine. Share knowledge. Don't be a dick.
Yeah. And we're still at the Shoney's.
And we're still at the Shoney's.
Bye.
Bye.